And welcome back to the Tuned In Podcast.
Let's go.
Andrew and Brandon back here in the off season again.
Yes, sir. Bringing
you some great jazz podcasts. And we've got something special cooked up for you today. Me and Brandon, we've been going into the jazz archive, jazz time capsule, rewind, whatever you want to call it. And we've got a great episode for you today, going back into a historic game for the jazz. But yeah, how are you feeling, Brandon?
Oh man, I'm feeling so good. We're both getting ready for school to start this week, so it's a little stressful, I guess. Yep. Anxious, maybe is the word. But you know what? We're handling it. We're getting one foot in front of the other, right? And we're gonna have fun today.
Yeah, I think what's getting me through new school week or new week of school, college football.
Oh yes, sir. Are you going to the game today?
Yeah, nice. We'll be at the game.
That'll be fun.
And yeah, we're watching all day today, hopefully.
Yes, sir.
I think Georgia's playing Clemson. That should be interesting. Mm-hmm. I think they, as we're recording, they're playing right now.
Yep. And we can see basketball on the horizon.
Yeah.
Just, we're like 2 months away, less than
if
2 months away.
If you're absolutely dying for basketball, you could watch WNBA.
That's right.
Or
that's
the U.S. right. Open tennis is pretty cool. Yeah,
I will say Caitlin Clark is absolutely hooping right now. Yeah. She is... I've heard MVP talks about Caitlin Clark, so I don't know much about the rest of the WNBA, but that's kind of crazy for a rookie to be in that conversation. So
yeah, that's fair. She super became an all-star. I know that.
Yeah,
but we're excited for today. Like we said, this is a special episode of the Tune In Podcast, and we're actually gonna kind of change the name. This is the Tuned In Jazz Rewind Podcast for this episode. Just because it's the off season, there's not a ton of jazz news going on, like you know. We thought it would be very exciting and fun to go look at some of the past games that jazz have had, because like for me and Brayden, we weren't born throughout the whole 90s. Like there's a lot of games we didn't actually watch.
Yeah.
And so we're going to help the younger generation like us to be able to understand what happened in some of these games and what it was like. And so we're excited for this first episode. We're getting a great 90s game that I'm sure all of you remember very well.
Yes, absolutely. We all know and love the Jazz. It's become part of our state up until recently, our only professional team. I guess I won't disrespect Real Salt like that, but pretty much our only professional team, and it wasn't built overnight. It was built brick by brick, and this is probably one of the biggest bricks we're going to talk about today, so kind of excited.
Yeah, especially share this episode with your friends and those people you know that love the Jazz. Give us a rating on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you're listening to this.
This is episode one of Tuned In Jazz Rewind. All right, so today we're going to be talking about the shot, and not Jordan's the shot, but John Stockton's the shot, rather.
The shot we want to talk
about. Yes, the shot that sent us to our first NBA Finals, so kind of exciting.
Let's go.
So
I guess first, we watched this game for free.
We did.
On NBA.com or YouTube.
Yep.
And you can watch it after this episode or before, and you can come back to the episode and hear what we have to say. Yeah, how are you? Let's get some lead up. What is happening going into this game in 1997?
Oh, so,
Jazz Rockets.
Yeah, so this was a long time coming for the Jazz, right? We've never been to the finals before. Stockton and Malone were both, I would argue, peak of their careers at this point. Karl Malone had just won his first MVP. He was a 10-time All-Star, and John Stockton was a 9-time All-Star.
My goodness.
Obviously, both had been on the Dream Team. They'd won gold medals. But as far as what came with the Jazz, they were never able to win. They had circled the water a little bit.
And this is back... We were looking at this. This is back when players played longer.
Yeah.
And Carl and John, like, it's amazing. Like, they barely missed games ever.
It was like every game. Yeah.
And for 15, 20 years.
It was pretty incredible. Yeah, and so leading up to this, I guess maybe we'll go into like the last five playoffs going back to 1992, where the Jazz lost their first, this group of the Jazz lost their first Western Conference Finals against the Blazers. We lost in six games. kind of interesting. And then the next year,
might have been Clyde Drexler there too.
Yeah, I believe so. Mm-hmm. And then the next year, I guess maybe a little hangover. I don't know what the deal was here, but we lost to the Sonics in the first round in five games. If you remember right, that was back when I believe it was the first round was only five games. It was a five game series. Maybe it was second round too.
That definitely shows our age, not knowing exactly. Yeah.
And then the next year we made it back to the Western Conference Finals, where we faced, it was our first of three meetings with the Houston Rockets. We lost in the Western Conference Finals, this time in five games in a seven game series.
Do you think because Jordan wasn't playing a couple of those years, right?
Yeah.
Do you think if we beat the Rockets, we could have won a championship without Jordan?
Oh man, I think so. Oh. I mean, that was the year the Rockets started. They went back to back in the finals, and that was their first championship of the two. So losing in five was
killer.
It was killer, yeah. And then we turned around the next year and lost in the first round to the Houston Rockets again, who also won a championship that year. And then, man, we just kept having hangovers because we went back to the Western Conference Finals the next year after losing in the first round and again lost to the Seattle Supersonics.
It's the same teams.
In
like
seven
every year.
Games. Yeah, so over that 5 years previous, we pretty much had just lost to the Sonics and Rockets other than, I guess, the Blazers. But that took us to 1997, where we again were matched up with the Houston Rockets. I think in the post-game interview, we listened to John Stockton talk about how nobody expected them to win. It kind of seems like Jazz were the underdog here.
Houston Rockets have a lot of star power.
Yeah.
I guess coming into this, if you were on the Jazz and you'd been through all that playoff history of just getting your butt kicked, right? They didn't get to the finals ever. How are you feeling coming into this series?
Oh, man. I'd be frustrated. I mean, if you think about today's NBA, this would never happen. Like, if a guy like Karl Malone was on this in today's NBA, he's leaving after a couple of Western Conference Finals failures, right? Like, that's just the culture of the NBA.
It reminds me a little bit of like the Toronto Raptors or just the East in general when LeBron was there.
Yeah.
Maybe not to that extent, but like they had our number for
sure.
Just
running into juggernauts there. Yeah. Jerry Sloan had been coaching the Jazz. This was his ninth season. 96-97 was.
NBA legend.
Yeah. He had coached, I think he was assistant coach for four more years for the Jazz too. So I guess technically it was like his 13th season, but ninth as the head coach. And in the 96-97 season, the Utah Jazz were 64-18. And that was first in the West. Jazz versus Houston was the one seed versus the two seed, but the Jazz were seven games ahead of second place. Mm-hmm. And so we had a pretty good, we had a pretty solid lead, record wise for the regular season leading up to this series, I guess.
I love it. And I think there was kind of a rivalry with the coaches a little bit too.
Yeah, I think so.
With Rudy Tomjanovich. I might be saying his name a little wrong. He used to be a former player. He was a great coach for the Rockets and Jerry Sloan, of course. They're in their suits. It's interesting to see like no coaches wear suits anymore.
Yeah,
but they in the broadcast throughout this game, they showed the coaches a lot.
Yeah.
Like their expressions, throughout the game based on different plays, and it was pretty cool to see like how there's always a camera on the coach.
Yeah, it's kind of funny seeing them. They're both kind of emotionless, or they almost looked angry kind of, but like they don't like express it a ton. It's, you know, anyways, it was kind of interesting seeing their reaction.
Yeah, and so big pressure going into this series for the Jazz, really wanting to win. And the game we're covering is game six in Houston. And so the Jazz, and we're up 3-2 in the series, hoping to send them home, right? And do it in front of their own fans, because they had done that to us before in the playoffs where we'd been in Utah and they sent us home. And so I think Karl Malone wanted to, he said that they wanted to win in Houston in front of those fans.
Yeah.
And so that's some more lead up. I think just a fun note, just going back into 1997, we weren't there, right? This is the first year of the WNBA. Mm-hmm. Kind of interesting, the inaugural season. And it isn't that long ago. Like that,
no.
In my head, that seems like really late. I feel like it would have been around longer.
Yeah.
Also, a couple more fun notes. Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone by J.K. Rowling is published. Mm-hmm. The very first classic book in the series in 1997. Goes on to be a like one of the most historic or like well best-selling books of all time. Netflix is founded in 1997, and it started out as a DVD rental service.
Mm.
Interesting.
So crazy.
Top movie, Men in Black. That's Do you watch Men in Black?
Oh, those are classic movies. Yeah, those are good ones.
I love it. I haven't seen them a ton, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that was happening this year. And then also the Titanic came out later that year. One of the most selling movies of all time. And then just another sports note... Super Bowl 31, the Green Bay Packers beat the New England Patriots 35-21. Are you a big Packers fan?
No, I'm a big Brett Favre fan, though. So that would have been Brett Favre years, right? 97,
maybe?
I think so. I'm trying to think who else the Packers have had. There was a big gap of time where they didn't have a good quarterback. But
yeah, before I was born, so I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
there's a little notes. Put yourself in 1997.
Yes.
Some of those things happening. Some good movies. Netflix just starts.
Absolutely.
It's a whole new world.
Yes, it is.
A lot less technology back then. And then let's get into the Jazz and Rockets rosters.
Yeah, let's do.
And I don't know about you, but there's a lot of these guys that I didn't know before that now I feel like I kind of feel like I know these guys
pretty well,
a little bit more.
They're
so let's
boys.
Actually start with the Jazz. Starting lineup, John Stockton, Jeff Hornacek, Brian Russell, Karl Malone, and Greg Ostertag.
Mm.
And I feel like I knew that starting lineup before. That's probably the most popular, iconic Jazz lineup of all time.
Oh, absolutely.
In your opinion, is this the best Jazz starting lineup we've ever had?
Ooh, yeah. I mean, definitely dynamics wise. Yeah, I think we've
traversing
had some
eras
good ones.
Might be hard for them.
That's tough. Yeah,
they were good in their era, but
yeah,
iconic. I'd say they'd be number one. Talent wise, I don't know how it would work with different eras.
Yeah,
but.
It's with some of our lineups with Gobert and Mitchell. They might rival it a little, but.
Yeah,
dynamic-wise, yeah, it's hard to beat this starting lineup, I think.
And I mean that lineup with Darren Williams, Carlos Boozer, AK, Mehmet Okor.
Yeah.
That was a good lineup, too.
Oh, so good.
So it's top. It's up there.
It's definitely up there.
And then bench, Howard Eisley. Used to play with him in 2K all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Shannon Anderson, who is a rookie this year, drafted by the Jazz. Greg Foster, Antoine Carr, and Chris Morris.
Yeah.
And then also two DMP coach decisions this game, Stephen Howard and Adam Keefe. Any of these bench guys, ones that you remember well or that you've never heard of before, what do you know about them?
Yeah, I feel like it's a lot of like household names. As we looked them up a little bit, we're like getting some background. A lot of these guys played for a really long time.
Like 15 years for all of them, basically.
I think Antoine Carr, we looked up, it was like 17, 18 years. He was like a 20-point-a-game guy at one point. I remember
Insane.
Him really well.
For the Kings, right?
Yeah, I believe so. And a lot of these guys had long careers. I don't remember Chris Morris very well, but these other guys are definitely guys I've seen around the NBA a lot.
Yeah, Shannon Anderson, he had a great career, but of course... This year, he was a rookie. He goes on to play for 11 seasons for four different teams. Plays most of his time in New York Knicks. And he ends up winning a championship with Dwayne Wade and Shaquille O'Neal and then retires. So he gets his ring eventually.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned Chris Morris.
Yeah,
he had a long career too. He
really?
Played 11 seasons, most of them with the New Jersey Nets.
Mm.
But he had, as a rookie, averaged 14 a game, finished third in Rookie of the Year, and then he kind of finished his career towards the end with the Jazz.
Oh wow!
And yeah, he was solid bench player, right? And without looking at this game, we never would have known who he is. So
yeah,
I don't know. I always think, like, I know a lot of the bench players that play today, but I'm sure in that time, Chris Morris was a guy like most NBA fans knew who he was.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember. So I was born in 98, shortly after this game. And then I'm trying to think, it was probably around kindergarten when I started really getting into basketball. I played junior jazz and then just like started getting into it, you know? So like a lot of these guys, I didn't really know the game back then, but I do recognize as I was playing like 2K3, I think was the first one I ever played.
Yeah.
And anyways, so this, it's just kind of interesting to actually like put a game with their name, you know, actually understand how they played.
Yeah. I also say the bench like didn't really play much this game. Like the guys off the bench that got the most minutes were Shannon Anderson and Howard Eisley with like 10 minutes each.
Yeah.
But the starters all played for like basically 40 minutes. I think it was probably a good strategy, but Jerry Sloan didn't want to play his bench that much in this closeout game.
It makes it even crazier that they played 82 games a season to think that that's kind of how they ran.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it also makes sense why Stockton has records that are unbeatable and Malone is second, well, now third all time in scoring. Like, yeah, it makes sense now.
Yep. They played a lot. Yep. And then their coach, and they were okay with it. That was just how the NBA was.
Absolutely.
And I also notice, I don't know if you agree with this or if you saw it during the game, the point guards guard the point guards, the shooting guards guard the shooting guards, centers.
Yeah.
Like, it's very positional.
Matchups mattered, yeah.
Yeah, there's no cross-matching.
No,
or
not
really
at all.
Switching either. You kind of stay with your guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's get into the Rockets lineup and bench.
Let's do it.
Here's their starting lineup. Point guard, Matt Maloney. Guard Mario Elie, Clyde Drexler, Charles Barkley, and Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon.
Yeah.
Who? Any surprises in this starting lineup? Any guys that stick out to you?
Oh man, no.
They've got a big three.
They got some big names. Yeah. I think that Clyde had just come. Oh, he'd been there like his third or fourth season there, I guess, but. It's always surprising to me to think of Clyde Drexler on the Rockets. I always think of him as a Blazers guy.
Yeah.
I always forget that he played.
Yeah, and he won championships on the Rockets, too. He got his rings.
He did.
This is, I believe, the first year of Charles Barkley in Houston.
Oh, that's right. He was an All-Star that year, correct?
Yes. This is his last All-Star season, too.
Oh,
after
this,
he didn't make it anymore.
Oh, wow.
So he's getting towards the end of his career. He never won a ring, so I think he was kind of ring chasing, and he just missed the cutoff.
Yeah.
But he's still a great player. Matt Maloney, you'll see in this game, he did not play well.
Yeah.
Mario Elie, he had a long career for a lot of different teams. He won his championships with the Rockets, I believe.
Yep.
And then he also played for the Spurs, Warriors, Portland, Phoenix, and Philadelphia. So he is a journeyman.
Yeah.
And off the bench, Sidale Threet, Eddie Johnson, and Kevin Willis. And then a whole bunch of guys that did not play.
Yeah, those guys were all dogs, too.
Yeah.
Eddie Johnson, Sidale Threet, Kevin Willis.
Their bench is definitely better than our bench.
Yeah.
Did you know their bench players before, or just during this game you learned them?
I knew Eddie Johnson and Kevin Willis. Sadale Threet was new to me, but he was a dog.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
He played more almost as much as their starting point guard.
Yeah.
Sadale Threet. He actually played on the Lakers with Magic and started.
That's right.
So that's something I didn't know before. And he had an extremely long career. He played 5 seasons with LA, 4 with Seattle, 4 with Philadelphia, and one with Houston, 2 with Chicago. So,
yeah.
He was balling for a long time. He played at a lot of places.
Yeah, we talked about Maloney kind of stinking. Not only was he missing shots, but he was getting absolutely cooked by John Stockton.
Yep.
And by the end of the game, Sadale Threet, I believe.
He was getting tired, too.
Yeah, he was the main matchup for Stockton, and even he was struggling.
After this season, he retires, Sadale
Threet.
Oh,
really? Yeah.
And after having played 16 seasons.
Oh, wow.
So
that's
you could say John Stockton put him into retirement.
Yeah, I guess so.
After this, because this was literally his last game of his career.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And then Eddie Johnson, I'll just mention his name again. He's a bucket. I he's probably that six man build that we see today in a lot of teams. He was just coming off that bench and he was hitting big shots. Yeah. I think he actually hit a game winner earlier in this series to keep the Rockets in it. So watch out for Eddie Johnson when you watch this game. He's a beast.
Yeah, they had like a little graphic that came up at some point in the game. And now that I know the history too, like it was saying he played for Seattle as well. He was on some of those teams that beat us. And
Seattle.
He was our kryptonite, I guess, over the last couple of years.
Yep.
Previous to this game.
And I think he actually won Sixth Man of the Year in Phoenix in 1998.
Oh, yeah.
Or at 1989.
Yeah.
So he's definitely that bucket off the bench in the 90s. He's your like J.R. Smith or your Lou Williams or Jamal Crawford on the Rockets.
Yeah. And eight-man rotation is kind of crazy.
Yeah. And this is actually his second to last year playing. He only plays a couple more games after this, so this is the end of his career too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and then we'll also just mention for a second Kevin Willis. He played, I think, top 10 most games played of all time. He's an absolute veteran, journeyman, all of those things. He played ridiculous amount of games. Let's see, he played 1,424 games, which is absolutely crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy to think how many just like Hall of Famers there are in this game. I mean, at least five. Yeah, I think five.
Yeah.
It was history.
And Jeff Hornacek's like fringe maybe.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was trying to think
if he made it. He's retired jersey number at the Jazz, just not Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to think if he'd made it, but I don't think.
Yeah, also Kevin Willis, he was an all-star one year.
Yeah.
In 92. Not that far removed. Oh. And 92, he was also All-NBA. And he won a championship with the Lakers in 2003.
Yeah.
So he had a great career. But let's get into some of that gameplay.
Yeah, let's do.
Finally. Okay. I don't know. There's a lot of things we could point out. Let's start with the broadcast.
Let's do it.
NBC broadcast. Maybe we're going to get NBC back in a couple years after if TNT ends up not working out.
Yeah.
What do you like about the NBC broadcast, and what did you not like? So just some things I could say both.
Oh, man. Okay, well, one thing I really liked, I'll start positive, I guess. I just thought, like, the sound was a lot better. I don't know why, but it just was, like, more pleasing. I think you could hear the crowd better. Like,
not too much.
Yeah, and you could hear the crowd. You could hear the ball going in the rim. Like, I wasn't a huge fan of the commentary. I guess it was okay.
I love Bill Walton, though.
Bill Walton's so funny.
He's hilarious.
Dude.
Bill Walton and Greg Gumbel. Greg Gumbel, I know a lot more from football.
Yeah.
But he was on the mic.
Yeah. So I thought sound was, I don't know. I was having kind of a fun time listening to that.
Yeah. I also state the obvious, just like, I'd love to see the score more.
Right.
Because watching this game, you forget the score and then it only comes on like every couple possessions. Yeah. And you're like, okay, the Jazz are up by three, great. And then the score comes back on and it's like, we're down by eight.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, what happened
Especially
there?
Especially down the stretch, you're like, I want to know how we're doing.
We need to know the score so we can like cheer appropriately, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was interesting. At least at the end of quarters, they'll put the time on so you can see it. But
yeah,
I'd love a bottom line. I'm so grateful the NBA has that now.
Right, yeah.
Another fun note, Warren Moon is in attendance.
Yeah,
you know much about, he was Hall of Fame quarterback for the Oilers.
Do you remember that? Yeah.
Good man. And then also a fun Jazz or Rockets fan had a sign called Raz the Jazz. I'm just going to throw that in there. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, right next to the Beat Utah sign. You could tell they really put a lot of thought into those. They were really proud of it, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't blame them. Yeah. I don't blame them. Yeah. Well, should we get into that first quarter?
Oh, let's do. Let's do.
So, kind of started off well for the Jazz.
Yeah,
I would say. Any players immediately you feel like made the most impact in that first quarter?
Yeah. I mean, I was really impressed with Jeff Hornacek. He came out and hit that. Might have been the first bucket of the game. He hit that little floater down the lane.
Bill Walton called it the Whirly Bird.
The Whirly Bird shot. Yeah. I don't know. I was just really impressed. Jazz started pretty hot. We didn't maybe play hot later, but first quarter, we were keeping pace, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Karl Malone as well. He hit 3 shots, 3 for 7. He was, throughout this entire game, his mid-range was killer. Yeah. Like, I think on the broadcast, they said, like, Charles Barkley would give him that shot.
Mm.
And I don't think he should, because Karl, like, he made a lot of mid-range this game. And if Charles Barkley was going to give him that shot,
yeah,
we'll take that shot.
Right.
Right.
I think that's what added so much, like, hard to guard for him, because, I mean, you think of Stockton and Malone, you think of pick and roll, right? Like,
which happened a lot.
It did happen a lot. And if you think of, if you don't know the Jazz and you're just hearing about Stockton and Malone, like, you probably just think it's like a classic pick and roll. But there was a lot of really advanced plays being run. Like,
yeah. Jeff Hornacek did a great job.
Yeah.
Ball movement.
The
with
floor
him.
Was pretty spread for that era. Malone was making great passes out of the post. Stockton was moving all, it was like Steph yeah. Curry out there moving all over the floor.
Yeah, what did you think of the spacing in throughout the game?
Oh man, I'm really grateful for today's NBA. I'll just say that. It's a little tough to watch sometimes, I think.
Yeah. Every single possession in they're sagging off the three-point line yeah. to like the free throw line.
Yeah.
And I think that was the right thing to do, because like even Jeff Hornacek's a great three-point shooter.
Mm-hmm.
I think he only shot like 2 or 3 a game.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so you weren't really worried about the three-point shot that much.
Yeah, and he probably only took those two because it was like open. Like he's not creating a three.
Yeah.
Or like dribbling into a three, you know.
Yeah, and I mean him being a great three-point shooter, he's only going to shoot it 3 times. Let's just make sure to get the mid-range out.
Yeah.
Or like double team Carl in the post. Drexler had a great first half.
Oh man,
his shot is so smooth. He had 10 in the first quarter. In the first half, let's see, he had 15 in the first half as well. So he got them going. Hakeem had 10 in the first half too. Also, a random note: we realized there's no restricted area.
Yeah, kind of interesting.
I don't know how. I don't feel like it changed the game too much.
No.
But it was just interesting to see.
Yeah, I remember we were watching first quarter. There was a charge taken. It was a Jazz player, but I can't remember who it was. But anyways, I was like looking, because usually I look and it would have been in the restricted area where he took the charge. And I was like, wait a second. Like, anyways, so that kind of threw me off a little bit.
Dang it.
Yeah.
I guess that is a block or charge.
Yeah.
And then also, I just want to say this before we get too deep into it. These courts and jerseys are better
than so nowadays. Much better.
Like the Rockets logo is
not
like
even
sick
close. Yeah.
With the actual Rocket instead of just an R.
Yeah. It's
love that. And the pinstripes they used to have, Jazz jerseys, we've already talked about this before. Those are our favorite.
Even like the warm up jackets, those big puffy ones, but they had like the mountain on them. Like those are clean, dude.
Yeah.
I was trying to think where I could get me one of those. I'll have to go.
those are going to be expensive nowadays.
Yeah, they are.
But those were pretty dope. Yeah, I love the old logos and jerseys.
Yeah.
And then kind of going in towards halftime, Karl Malone from the left corner hit this buzzer beater fade. Thank goodness he hit that.
Yeah.
and the Jazz kind of roll at halftime. Yeah. And let's see, what would have been the halftime score? Let's see, Jazz lost the first quarter by 2, Houston won the second quarter by 8, so that would be what?
I think we're 43.
Houston by 5.
43-49 was the score at halftime.
Yeah, so we're down 6. A little bit at half, and even it could have been worse without that buzzer beater.
Yeah, kind of an interesting halftime stat. Greg Ostertag was 6-for-6 in the first half.
Holy cow.
12 points, he was our leading scorer.
I think he averaged 4 points a game this season, him already having 12 is insane.
Yeah, he had 7 rebounds as well and a block.
Wow.
He was playing out of his mind.
And he left the game with an injury.
Yeah.
I don't know when the injury occurred, but he like had to put ice on his knee or something.
Yeah.
He like twisted out. But he ended up coming back. We'll talk about him in the clutch.
Yeah.
But then let's get into the second half. We actually started getting to the free throw line a little bit more. I think we have to talk about this when it comes to this Jazz team. How do you feel about the free throw routines, especially with Karl Malone and Jeff Hornacek?
Yeah, definitely unique. We don't really see a lot of like unique free throw routines anymore.
Mm-mm.
Carmelo and like talks to himself, right? We tried to look up and see what
it's a mystery. We'll never
saying.
Know.
Yeah.
What did he say?
I saw some videos where people were trying to like do lip readings, but it basically just turns into one of those bad lip reading videos because you never know what people are saying. Especially him with his like thick accent. It's like there's no way to know.
Yeah.
What
and
he
I'm
was saying.
Sure the players couldn't even tell what he was saying because I bet it was different every time.
Yeah. He's probably whispering to himself.
I mean, it helped. He was a pretty good free throw shooter.
Yeah. Whatever helps.
And Ostertag, I think he made like almost, if not all of his free throws.
Yeah, especially at the end of the game.
So some Walker Kessler could learn from
that's
this.
Right, yeah.
And
maybe,
then
maybe Carl can share some mantras with him and he can
yeah, he could start talking
line,
during
yeah.
it. Jeff Hornacek rubbing his face.
Yeah.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think that used to mean that like he would, that's his way of like saying hello to his family.
Yeah.
That's so great.
That's pretty cool.
That's why I love Jeff Hornacek.
He's such a good dude. Guy. I think I see him the most. Like I saw him at Summer League. He was sitting on the sideline. Seems like he's yeah. just around the Jazz, which is pretty awesome.
He's a smart basketball player too. Ended up yeah. being a head coach.
Absolutely.
For the Suns, maybe other team too.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of the, I think, top 10 or top 20 best free throw shooters by percentage.
Yeah.
And so whatever the rub in the face was, it yeah. like it worked.
It helped.
He
yeah.
was amazing at free throws, and it was cool to see that routine. And so fun to talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but the second half, Jazz really came out flat, honestly. We were down 6 already, of course, but kind of a rough, I guess at least the third quarter was pretty rough.
We did cut it the lead a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
We won the quarter by 5, so what that put us at?
I think tied. We down 1 or tied, yeah.
Tied or down 1. So not terrible, not yeah. terrible. That quarter, Jeff Hornacek had 9 points in the third.
Mm-hmm.
So he did his thing. He actually hit his 1-3.
Yep.
So he ended up being 2-for-3 in the game, which is like a lot.
Yep.
Brian Russell actually ended up hitting a couple in the fourth quarter. He was 3-for-5 from three. And that's like a lot of threes for this mm-hmm. era. Surprisingly, Clyde Drexler hit 5 threes in this game.
Yeah.
I don't remember all of those, to be honest, while we were watching, but
yeah.
that's pretty crazy. And Matt Maloney, 0-for-6.
Oof.
To be honest,
rough,
I
man.
Think Matt Maloney was the reason they lost this game.
Yeah.
Because in the second half, he didn't really play in the fourth quarter that much. And him being 0-for-6 from 3, if they hit one or two of those shots, like who knows, they probably would have won.
Be different, yeah.
So, and just interesting, we did a little small deep dive on Matt Maloney. He's their starting point guard, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is his first year in the NBA, and he's 25.
A rookie. Yeah.
So he's like undrafted. He just... They pick him up off the street,
yep.
and all of a sudden he shoots 40% from three this year.
And he's starting for them in the Western Conference Finals in a closeout
yeah.
game, a possible closeout
like,
game.
Who is this guy?
yeah.
Like, where did he come from?
What in the world?
But the lights were too bright for
yeah,
Matt Maloney, and
they definitely were.
He choked. And so, thank you, Matt.
Yes.
The real
we appreciate
MVP here.
You. If you want to come on the podcast, we're happy to talk.
Yeah, we would love to talk to you, Matt.
Yes.
So we cut a little bit closer in the... third quarter, but beginning of fourth quarter, we kind of tank.
Yes.
We go down by quite a few points.
Yes, we do. I think we were down like 12 or 13 at one point, maybe more.
Yeah. A lot of that's Clyde Drexler. A little bit of that's Eddie Johnson,
too. It's hard to know because we couldn't really see the shot clock, but
I think
we were down by double digits at least. I know that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And as we were watching this game, it can be pretty easy to forget, but I think Greg Ostertag was such a huge impact player.
Absolutely.
What did you notice with him?
Yeah, I mean, some of the what he did didn't even show on the box score. I mean, he did have 3 blocks, which is pretty good.
It felt like more.
Yeah, but like there was times, I mean, we know the legend of Hakeem Olajuwon, arguably a top 5, maybe better center of all time in the NBA.
Most blocks of all time.
Yeah, like... an incredible talent, just won back-to-back championships before this, led his team. But in the fourth quarter, Greg Ostertag was altering all
yeah.
of his shots. In fact, let's see what Hakeem was. one for three in the fourth quarter.
We'll take that. We'll take that.
So even if he didn't miss a ton of shots, he probably wasn't taking as many
shots.
He
was averaging 30 a game right now.
And I think Ostertag ended up fouling out during the fourth. But 16 points, 14 rebounds, and three blocks is exactly what you need from a guy like Greg Ostertag in a closeout
Amazing.
Game.
Amazing. Yeah. And also, I noticed, of course, Charles Barkley was guarding Karl Malone the whole game.
Yeah.
Again with that cross match. Why didn't they have Hakeem guard Karl Malone?
Right, absolutely.
I feel like they would have had a much better shot, but that's just not how the NBA was. Like, if you're not the center, if you're the center, you're guarding the center.
Mm-hmm.
If you're the power forward, you're guarding the power forward. So yeah. I feel like they should have put Hakeem on him, but it just wasn't that absolutely. Era.
Yeah, Greg Ostertag played very well. Matchups, And honestly, Charles Barkley almost seems to me like, in today's NBA, I almost wonder if he would even be a power forward because he seemed kind of... Maybe it was just small comparative to Carmelo.
He is shorter. Yeah.
But I don't know. That was a fun matchup to watch. So Carmelo versus
He'd
Charles Barkley.
He'd be like a Zion Williamson type player nowadays.
Yeah, I agree. But it was kind of... That was a fun matchup to watch. They were kind of going at each other all game.
Yep. I could tell Charles was getting frustrated just because Carl was hitting tough shots over and over.
At one point, I think we saw him yell, "Stop crying," to Karl Malone. Karl Malone is complaining about a call, and I'm sure they're friends. They're on the Dream Team together. I'm sure they're buddies, but it's funny to see that.
Yeah, he didn't get like a huge burst of scoring. He was just very consistent throughout the game.
Did his thing,
He did his
thing. He demands a lot of attention, frees up other guys to be able to.
Definitely. And then I also just want to mention Greg Foster. Shout out to him.
Yeah.
He drew like three or four fouls, and then that was all he did this game.
Yeah, he comes in the game. He took three shots, but didn't make any of them.
I know he's had some good games for the Jazz. This was not his game.
No, it was not.
He came in, got three fouls from Hakeem, and then he got out of there.
Yeah.
So,
every
shout
team
out to
needs
you,
a bruiser. Every team needs a bruiser.
He was our guy this game. He's our foul guy.
Call him a Draymond Green, if you will. I guess Draymond is a little more.
And then let's go. So the Jazz go down. This is the stretch that's the most iconic. The Jazz come back to win the game. And so
it was looking a little inevitable, too. I think two minutes left, we were still down almost 10 points. And we're like it's weird watching it, knowing how it's going to end. But you're like, how is this going to happen? Like,
when are they going to start coming back? Like, right? There's time's running out.
Is he going to hit a shot worth 12 points? Like, what's going to happen here? Yeah,
but I think it's pretty important. Byron Russell hit two big three-pointers in the fourth quarter in a row.
Yeah, he was huge.
Ostertag had a lot of stops, like we already talked about, altering or blocking a couple of Hakeem's because they went to Hakeem in the clutch. And
yeah.
Ostertag was there.
Yep.
And then Eddie Johnson missed a couple, thank goodness.
Yep.
Because he was on fire during this series and he was their sixth man guy. And then it all comes down to the last couple possessions. Do you want to take us through those?
Yeah. So Rockets have the ball. I believe it was slated to be the last.
Eventually tie game.
Yeah. Tie game. Last possession of the game.
22 seconds on the clock.
Yeah. So they were trying to take the final shot. Drexler, I actually thought they drew it up very well. Drexler had an isolation against Brian Russell, I believe, and just takes him to the right, double clutches. And there was a lot of those shots back in the 90s. I'm not a big fan of that shot, but they did take a lot of those. So obviously it was the type of shot they took. And he had a good look, just didn't banked it out, clanked
up. Yeah,
it was
like a double clutch floater on the right.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't go in, and then I think we called a timeout with like two and a half seconds left.
Karl Malone got it, and then immediately
and
called timeout.
They left too much time on the clock. That's plenty of time for John Stockton. And it was interesting. They set the pick and roll for John, and I think Karl Malone just like hugs Sadel three.
We were watching it. We were trying to figure out, like, was that an illegal screen, or did he just get pushed? Or it was kind of.
They were both grabbing each other, so I think it's fair because both of them were doing it.
I respect the no call there.
I respect it too.
Yeah.
And so Charles Barkley switches on to John Stockton and is late to the switch.
Yeah.
John pulls up from three. Carl says it looked good going in, and it went in.
It did.
And Greg Gumbel's famous call of John Stockton sends the Jazz to the NBA Finals. That is one of the biggest plays in Jazz history. Amazing. And then we have to mention as well, John Stockton, I believe he had like 15 in the fourth quarter.
Incredible.
He was carrying the team. That when you were saying they were down by 12, it was mostly John Stockton that brought him back. And he's not usually that guy that's scoring, but yeah, he had to be this game.
5 for 8. He also had 4 assists.
You're right.
Just
his best game of his career, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the most important stage.
We saw, we kind of laughed a little at his celebration after hitting the shot, but you don't really see a lot of emotion coming from him, or even Jerry Sloan was crying.
Like jumping at the end of the game like he never does.
It's not these guys to do that, but first finals ending like that.
And to think like of the years and years of getting your butt kicked by
especially
the Rockets.
By this team, yeah.
And you beat them in Houston, send them home. Charles Barkley doesn't get his ring.
Yep.
And that felt good.
Yes, it did.
Shout out to Matt Maloney. Shout out to John Stockton.
Jerry Sloan, all-time great coach.
Right.
Drew that type of play up. Yeah, I kind of think it was smart to get it to Stockton. You would think it was going to Carl. I would think it was going to Carl.
Right. I think that's why Sedell Threet was in his face.
Yeah, absolutely. But just a wonderful shot. That's what all-time greats do. They hit shots that they're supposed to hit. And that's what John Stockton is. Hall of Famer.
Yeah, and so for you, where does this game rank in Utah Jazz history?
Oh, man. I think I have a hard time thinking of any game better. Sending us to our first finals. We've never been to the finals other than the next year. Yeah, I think...
John Stockton, Karl Malone, and I think this is like their prime.
Yeah.
Right? The peak of their powers.
Absolutely. If not the greatest like all around game, at least the greatest Jazz moment ever, in my opinion. Yeah.
I would agree. So I think just because of the nostalgia, the importance of the gameplay was really good too. Exciting comeback at the end. I'd say it'd probably be number one for me.
Yeah,
we're gonna go back and listen to some other Jazz games to maybe contest.
Yeah,
but from what I've seen with my eyes, this is the most exciting, iconic Jazz game of all time. It's got to be number one for me.
Yeah, if you have one that you feel like that we're totally forgetting about or that we're sleeping on, please let us know. We'd love to. Yeah,
and the Jordan shot doesn't count. We don't want to remember that one.
Yeah, no.
That one's iconic for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, we don't want to watch a player foul our player to win a game. That's
But for the Jazz moment, this is probably number one.
Absolutely.
And of course, we got to talk a little bit about aftermath. The Jazz go on to lose to the Bulls in the finals this year.
Yep, first of two.
Jordan never lost in the finals, 6-0. Mm. They actually go to game 6, and game 5 and game 6 of the series were won by the Bulls by like 2 or 3 points.
Yeah.
So it was very close. We just couldn't pull it out.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I believe the next time they would play basketball after that was in January, because that was the NBA lockout right after that.
Or I think there was one more year in between.
Oh, wasn't it 98?
This one's 97.
97.
So next year we'll play the Bulls as well.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then the shot happens. Then the lockout after that. So I think it'd be two years. Yeah. But yeah. But even in the lockout season, Karl Malone, John Stockton played like every game, even though it was only 50.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jazz never end up winning the finals after the next couple of years, but then this game becomes more significant because it was the shot that got us to the finals for the very first time. And
absolutely.
After those 2 years, the Jazz have still not made it back.
Yep.
And we've gotten to the conference finals before with Darren Williams and Carlos Boozer, but that's as close as we've been since then.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. When you go to the Delta Center now, you look up in the rafters. Literally, like, half those jerseys are from this team, if you include Jerry Sloan. Like, it's just, it's crazy to think what this team did for our franchise. Yeah. We might not be talking about the Utah Jazz right now. The Millers might have eventually sold it. I don't know, maybe not. I'm just talking hypotheticals here, but...
And I think what this also leaves as a legacy is the Jazz were one of the most consistently good teams.
Absolutely.
Even if we didn't make it back to the finals after 98.
Yeah.
In like from 2000 to now, the Jazz are like top six or seven.
Yeah.
They're always like in the playoffs. They're always competitive. And I think that's the legacy of this team.
Absolutely. You can't talk about the 90s without talking about the Jazz. They're a big part of that as well.
Definitely. Any other last notes you have from this game in general? Any last things you want to throw in before we kind of close it?
Oh, man. I know with we've talked a lot about the Jazz 50 this year, but it's just cool. It's cool that we get to root for this team, and maybe we weren't alive for this 97.
Yeah.
But it definitely influenced our first experiences with the Jazz. It's not too long before we discovered our love for basketball and the Jazz, right? And
so, I could recommend to anyone that hasn't really watched this game before, go back and watch it from start to finish and just fall in love with the players.
Absolutely.
And the iconic game. And it's just so, it was cool for me to kind of learn and Google some of the players that played and understand the 90s team a little bit better and just watch a great game as well. The gameplay was great.
Absolutely. We talked when we were watching yesterday, we talked a lot about guys that are forgotten about just because they're not like the main, like Shannon Anderson and Isley and Antoine Carr. Like these guys are not
just because they weren't starters.
Household names. Yeah.
Even Greg Ostertag. Right?
Yeah. And even that can happen to some of the guys we love now. Like we talked about Royce O'Neal or even like, well, people remember Joe Ingles 20 years
from
now.
Derek Favors.
Yeah. Right. But we will, you know,
we'll talk about him.
So
yeah, we'll talk about Antoine Carr, an absolute beast.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us on our episode today. We know it was kind of a different one, but we're grateful to kind of do something different with not a lot of Jazz going on. Remember to check out our past episodes. We're going to be sharing more of these historic episodes, but if you want to hear Jazz news, you can go back and check our last episodes up on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, we're there. And thanks again for listening and take care.
Peace.